If you have your copy of Scripture this morning, I encourage you to turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." I see four dynamics in this verse for the Church of Jesus Christ today. Our purpose is that we want to change lives by meeting people where they are and moving them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. And when I see Acts 1:8, I see that purpose being fulfilled in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. There are four dynamics of a church that has a world vision. Dynamic number one is this: God blesses His people to strengthen His church. How does He do that? Well, He does that first through what we hope to start here soon in small groups. Through our growth groups, we hope to develop and strengthen the people of Jesus Christ and the Church of Jesus Christ by encouraging them and building them up and furthering the ministry of Jesus Christ from this place. Secondly, it happens through quality teaching. I think that the Church of Jesus Christ is built up when they learn the Word of God and they see the Word of God being built into the lives of people. And when that Word of God is applied, we are able then to take it and to use it to reach other people for Jesus Christ. And financially, I think the Church of Jesus Christ is built up through financial stability. When the Church of Jesus Christ, the local church, is able to establish itself and become financially stable, then it is able to also touch other places around the world. If we are financially unstable, we cannot touch other places, can we? But if we are financially stable, then we build ourselves up. Our Jerusalem is here for three purposes. Number one, that we may build one another up and spur one another on to love and good deeds. Number two, that we may teach the Word of God, teaching us to observe everything that God has commanded us. And number three, that we may have an evangelistic witness, not only here, but everywhere else in the world. Dynamic number one, for an Acts chapter 1, verse 8 type of a church with a world vision, is that God blesses us in order that we may strengthen this local body. Dynamic number two is that the church is to bless every people group, including its own. We bless our people groups in three ways again. Number one, we're to be salt and light, not only to the whole world, but especially to our community. How are we accomplishing being salt and light if we evangelize the whole world, but we lose those that are right next door to us? The value of salt is that when it is added to the food, it adds flavor. And we live in a tasteless society. We live in a society that has lost all of its savor. It's lost all of its strength. It's lost all of its value. And when we insert ourselves into that society, we suddenly bring something back to that society that brings flavor to it. The value of light is a little bit of light takes away all the darkness. When you're in darkness, darkness floods everything until one bit of light is introduced. It can take a match, it can be a candle, it can be an incandescent bulb, it can be a fluorescent bulb, but when you're in a dark room and that light comes on, there is no longer darkness. Darkness is merely the absence of light. And the church is the light of the world. And if we miss our community, then we miss the opportunity to bring light where it is absent, to bring salt where we are tasteless. The second thing that we do to bless our people groups, including our own, is that we are to evangelize. Not only being an influence in the community, but changing communities, changing lives by meeting people where they are. I don't care who they are in Jesus Christ, whoever they are, we are going to touch their life for Jesus Christ And they may not even be part of the community of God, but if we are touching their lives, we are having an influence on them. The problem that we run into in the Church of Jesus Christ is we think that people are too far removed for us to ever have an influence. But one good deed, one strong influence makes an impact on even the vilest sinner. Even the person who is walking as far away from God as he can possibly get. We do that in a number of ways. We do that by sharing Jesus Christ with other people. We do that by just being an influence on the people around us. We do that by making contacts. Many of you have talked to me about how you're praying for the people in your contact book, and you've taken that little contact book that we introduced a few months ago, and you've begun to pray for them. And those influences have begun to have an opportunity for you. As you pray for them, you make the opportunity to go in and stop and talk to them longer. We use less in the way of ATMs and automatic tellers and things like that, and we start to actually interact with people, because now we begin to have an influence on people's lives because we're praying for them. As Eddie mentioned, we start to pray and God starts to move us. You see, the problem isn't that they are running away from us. They don't move. The problem is that we are running away from them. We're doing everything we can to isolate ourselves from the people that we're supposed to reach. We do that the same way the rest of the world does it. We put the card in the machine. We get our money from a box instead of a person. We put the card in the machine. We get our gas from a box instead of a person. We put the card in the machine and we get our groceries from a box instead of a person. We drive in our driveway and we hit the button and we bring up the drawbridge. We drive into the castle and we close the drawbridge, and we never have to interact outside the moat. We must go to them. The third way that we influence our society is this. We minister to their needs. Now, we do this in a number of ways, but ministering to the needs of people means looking for their need and meeting them where they are. We were up in Columbus, and my next-door neighbor came out one day, and I was shooting some baskets in my driveway, and he walked over, and he started shooting baskets with me, and we had become pretty good friends by this time. We'd been around the block for about 2 years, And he started shooting baskets with me. And after a couple minutes, I could tell that Denny wasn't there to shoot baskets. And I said, "Denny, you act a little down tonight. What's going on?" He said, "Well, my brother just went into a coma." And I said, "Oh, really? What happened?" And he explained all the circumstances to me. And he was concerned about his brother. I said, "Denny, I know you don't believe the way I believe, but do you mind if I take a moment right now and pray for you?" He said, "Oh, man, yeah, do it." So we prayed right there in my driveway. And I prayed for Denny's brother, and then I continued to pray for Denny's brother. 6 weeks later, Denny's brother, who kept getting worse and worse, suddenly just woke up from the coma. The doctors had figured out that they had been prescribing him something that was actually inducing coma rather than releasing him from it. And he just woke up. No problems, no difficulties. The man's still alive today, 5 years later. Here was Denny's testimony to me. "Dan, I don't believe that he would have ever awakened if you hadn't been praying for him." It's meeting their need. Denny only needed somebody to care. He only needed somebody just to pay attention to the fact that he was down, that he had a need. We need to meet the needs of our community. The third dynamic of a church with world vision is this. The church is to bless every people group, including the reached people groups of the world. Central African Republic is the most evangelized nation in the African continent. There are other areas of the world where evangelism has happened in dramatic ways. In Korea, the Korean church has grown in such an exponential way that it is just exploding all over. We have people all through the world that we are beginning to reach in multiple numbers in Argentina and in Brazil and all over the world. And our task is to reach those people groups alongside of our missionaries and the people that are there touching their lives. We do that in a number of ways, again, by serving the churches through mission agencies and missionaries, sending them, helping them, praying for them, and working alongside them. Secondly, by empowering them to bless their own culture and equip them to reach others. I remember early on, one of the goals of GBIM was to develop an indigenous church in Central Africa. That the goal was for the African church to be able to stand on its own. The goal wasn't to keep missionaries there forever, always being the pastor of the church, but to have them become the pastors, to have them become the leaders, to have that church be a church. That's Eddie's whole job. That's what Mike has been trying to develop. That's what all the missionaries in Africa have been trying to accomplish. And it's our goal to work alongside them, developing and helping them to equip themselves and to be able to grow themselves, to be able to function and empower their churches for evangelism of their own people. And eventually for them to be empowered to evangelize others outside their own people groups. The third thing is by partnering with them to offer Christ's redemption to unreached people groups. So that they can go. I remember them talking about one African pastor who has decided now that he is going to begin reaching the pygmies alongside Barb Wooler. That man is there to reach them. He's looking for support. He's looking for a way to support himself in a local church so that he can make part of his mission reaching out to an unreached people group, the pygmies. So we have three dynamics of a church with world vision. Our Jerusalem, that we're to strengthen and to develop ourselves. And in our Jerusalem and our Judea, that we're to reach the people around us. And thirdly, that we are to partner to reach other people who have been reached through the world, but to work with them as they reach other people. There is no nation that's 100% Christian. There is no nation that we have reached completely. Every church in every city, in every nation of the world, has a job to do, and we can partner right alongside them. But finally, the fourth dynamic is that the church is to bless every people group, including the unreached people groups of the world. There's an area of the world called the 1040 window, and in that area of the world, that's where most of the people of the world who have never been reached for Jesus Christ are. That 1040 window simply means, by an unreached people group, it simply means that that nation has no indigenous church that is putting out the gospel of Jesus Christ in its place. And it becomes an unreached people group. And the 1040 window is a place between the latitude of 10 degrees and 40 degrees north where we are missing the opportunity of reaching people. Most of them are Arab, Hindu, Buddhist, many in the Middle Eastern areas, all the way across the northern part of Africa, all the way over into Malaysia and into Southeast Asia and China. And we're missing the opportunity of reaching that unreached people group when we don't get ourselves involved in it. Part of it is through pre-evangelism, touching people's lives in such a way that we begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ without even sharing it verbally. Part of what Mike was doing in Turkey was a pre-evangelistic type of an opportunity. It's going into that people group area and beginning to touch their lives in a place of need so that we can then have an ear when we start to talk to them about who Jesus is. We do that in a number of ways. Number one, by sending out teams to pray. We call them go teams. Go into the area, learn about the area, pray for the area. Secondly, by adopting a particular people group that we can start to get a heart for, understand who they are, adopt children from there to support through Compassion International and other agencies like that. Number three, by sending teams there on short-term opportunities in order to reach into that opportunity with our own people and to rub shoulders with those people and to touch those people so that side by side we can begin to see people come to know Jesus Christ, or maybe just begin to plant an opportunity, a thought, a seed into people's minds there that someday we can have a mission point in this church or in this country among this unreached people group. There's an estimated 24,000 unreached people groups in the world today. 24,000 dialects and ethnic groups that have not ever been reached for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no indigenous witness within their people group. What a humongous task. What an overwhelming opportunity. So what is our faith lesson today? God has called us to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. We need to be witnesses here, to have a healthy base in order to reach our Judea with other churches in this area, the Atlanta area, our Judea, the North Georgia area, our Judea, planting churches that will touch Jesus Christ's people and those who have never heard of him, those who are in darkness and need to have a light inserted, those who are tasteless and need to have flavor inserted back in their life, and to reach our Samaria, our world, for Jesus Christ. There's a number of ways that can be done. First, we can look for those that are like us, and we can begin to reach them. We can touch their life, because we can speak with them, we can understand them, we can get along with them, and we can reach them. But then there's a second way that we can reach people for the world today, and that is that God has made Atlanta especially a melting pot of ethnicity. We have more people coming to Atlanta from all over the world today that are from every part of the world, and we just miss the opportunity of meeting them where they are and moving them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. In our church alone, there are about 8 ethnic groups represented in a group of 150 people. Atlanta is a melting pot. And when these people come and they share their lives with us and we share our lives with them and they get introduced to the person of Jesus Christ, there are times when they go home. Some of them go back to live and some of them go back to visit. But when they go and they influence their families and their friends for Jesus Christ where they're at. Let's not miss that opportunity just because they're not quite like us. The third way in which we can have an influence for the world, not only here in Jerusalem, but in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts, is that we can send people, not just the career missionary. We, as adults, can go. The very thing that Mike talked about, going to Turkey and touching the earthquake victims, those are opportunities for us to go and touch people on a short-term basis. And I challenge you today. It is the first Sunday in October, 1999, and I challenge you to set aside time next year. Your vacation time starts in the millennium if the computer doesn't go down. Set it aside to go and to reach someone on a short-term mission trip. Short-term missions isn't just for young people anymore. It's the opportunity for us to reach people for Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you this much, when you go, you will come back changed. It doesn't just touch them. Your prayer life will change. Your heart will change. It won't matter to you what missionary is on that field if it means that you can reach that field because your heart has been melted with those people. You will pray for them.